Last week, we left off with a question. Yonason was extremely careful to avoid arousing suspicion that he was helping David. Yet when he had a final opportunity to talk to David directly, he instructed his servant to go ahead, leaving him alone in the field. Wouldn't this also arouse suspicion? After all, a prince is never left alone. Perhaps we can answer based on the Ramban in Shemos, Perek Lama Gimel, Pasuk Yud Aleph, that a nar is someone who serves another regardless of his age. After all, Yeshua was called a nar, even though he was over 50. Here, however, the Navi tells us that Yonason had a nar katan, a young servant with him. The Pasuk stresses the fact that he was young and would not be suspicious of Yonason. Therefore, it was safe to send him ahead. This Friday is Shavuos. In Eretz Yisrael, where there is only one day of Yom Tov, Shabbos is Isruchag, and they lay in Parshas Nasai. However, in Chutz Laaretz, there is a second day of Yom Tov, and we have a special kriya for the day. Therefore, we fall a week behind Eretz Yisrael, and we do not catch up until 5 weeks later, when we combine Bullock with Chukas. These Parshias are separate in Eretz Yisrael. In fact, the only time we ever combine these two Parshias is when Shavuos falls out on a Friday. These Parshias are never combined in Eretz Yisrael. The Levush in Simen Tuf Tzadik Dalid explains that the Haftarah of the first day of Shavuos is Masim Ekarva, Yecheskel's vision of Hashem's glory. Since their entire nation was elevated to the level of Nevuah at Har Sinai and experienced Hashem's glory on the highest level, we read Haftarah that discusses that vision as well. So too on the second day, we lay in the Tefillah of Chavakuk, which also describes Hashem's glory and is another Ma'aseh Merkava. On the first day, the original minhag was to read the first pasuk of the Parsha before starting Akdamas. The Eliezer Rabbah explains that Akdamas was composed due to a miracle that occurred in the wilderness and is recorded in an ancient manuscript written in German by Rav Meir ben Yitzchak of Worms. Therefore, we read the pasuk that mentions Midbar Sinai before starting Akdamas. The Taz questions this minhag, since it is forbidden to interrupt the Kriya. Therefore, the more common minhag is to say Akdamas before the Kohen recites the Bracha. Nevertheless, we are lenient regarding the piyut of Yitziv Piskam, and many recite it during the Haftarah. The piyut opens with praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and mentions above and concludes with a tefillah for Klal Yisrael. Strangely, both the Taz and Eliezer Rabbah say that the minhag in the Haftarah is to say it after the first pasuk, while the common minhag is to say it after the second pasuk, even though there's an interruption. The entire Sefer of Chavakuk discusses the invasion of Nebuchadnezzar and his eventual demise. The Haftarah opens with the declaration that Hashem's prepared to punish the Chatoyim. The Navi begins his tefillah, Al Shigiyonos. Tanya Yonason explains that if the sinners do tshuva, then the sins will be considered like shigoyon, a mistake. This concept can also be found in Yuma, Daf Pei Vav Amad Beis, that if someone does tshuva due to fear, the sins are considered like mistakes. Here too, where the Rishayim repent due to Yira, it is considered a mistake. Rashi explains that the Navi was asking for forgiveness because in Perek Aleph he blamed the Chataim of the Yidden on Nebuchadnezzar's success. Finally, the Radak explains that Shigiyonos is similar to the expression found in Tehillim, and that the Navi said his tefillah with a nigun. The Navi bemoans the suffering that we will experience during Galus Babel, and mentions all the places where Hashem saved us, from Yetzias Mitzrayim until now. Hashem has always punished the evildoers, yet he allows Nebuchadnezzar to succeed despite his evil. Please evoke your wrath on Nebuchadnezzar. When Hashem offered the Torah to Bnei Yisrael, he first offered it to all the nations. They declined. The light on the day of Matan Torah was the light of the 6 days of creation. Pestilence went before him. Rashi explains that Hashem sent the Malach HaMavos away on that day so that he could not argue against giving the Torah to Bnei Yisrael. The Ibn Ezra explains that this refers to the plague that Hashem brought on the inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael to make it easier for us to conquer them. Omad v'yemoided Eretz. Hashem punished the Dor HaMabul and the Dor HaFlogah. The Gemara explains in Baba Kama, Daf Lamed Ches Amar Aleph, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu will punish the nations for not keeping the seven mitzvahs that apply to all mankind. The Shebez mitzvahs b'nei noyach. Hashem shows them that everything belongs to Him. When we do a chait, we were delivered into the hands of our enemies. And when we do tshuva, Hashem saves us. Hashem fulfills His promise to the Shvatim. The Navi mentions many nisim, such as the splitting of the Arden and the miracle of the streams of Arnon. As Rashi discusses in great detail in Chukas, Perichof Aleph, Pasuk Tezvav. The Yidden were traveling through a very narrow mountain pass, and the Emirim hid in the caves and the cliffs above them. Their plan was to ambush Yidden in that narrow passage, throwing heavy stones in them. The opposite mountain had rocky protrusions that aligned with the openings of the caves, and Hashem brought them together, killing our enemies. The sun stopped for Yeshua. Hashem drove away the seven nations of Canaan and appointed Shaul and David as our first kings. He also brought about the tremendous miracle of the destruction of Sancheriv's army. Babel will remember how Hashem punished the Egyptians and will tremble, knowing they too will also be punished. All the nations that enslaved us will be destroyed. Babel, Madai, Yavon, and Raimi. We, however, will rejoice when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who will give us the strength to pursue our enemies and destroy them. The final pasuk in Haftarah has an unusual combination of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's names. Whenever the Shem Havaya is next to the Shem Adnos, it is pronounced Elohim. Usually the Shem Adnos comes first, as is very common in the Vim and is found a few times in Chumash. Here, however, the Shem Havaya comes first, and it is read Elohim Hashem. One question remains. When the Shem Havaya is pronounced Elohim, it means Rachamim Bedin. The Navi was begging for Hashem's help. So then why evoke the Bidus Adin with the wording? Let me end with two beautiful pieces that I heard from my Rebbe, Rabbi Saul Reis Mishlita, both connected to Megillas Rus, which of course we read on Shavuos. He asked a very strong kasha on Megillas Rus, not from what it says in Rus, but from what is missing. What do I mean? We learned in Yeshiva, in Parsha Shemois, on Shemois Aleph Chaf Aleph, the pasuk Vayas Lehem Botim, that because Yocheved and Miriam were Moisrois Nefesh, they received Botim. And what are those Botim? They were Zoicha to Bote Kehuna and Bote Malchus. Bote Kehuna came through Yocheved, through Aaron, and Bote Malchus came through Miriam, who married Kalev and from whom David, Beis David came from. But it is a very big Pella. If we read the last psukim of Megillas Rus, it counts all the generations from Peretz all the way down to David, 10 generations. Nachshon is there, but Kalev is not there. So what happened to Kalev? It is a real plea. How can the Gemara incite to say Miriam married Kalev and that the Malchus Beis David came from them? If the actual lineage listed in Megillas Rus, Kalev is not there. Maybe a person will say that Kalev had another name, as you also often find throughout Tanakh. However, in Divrei Yomim, it says that Kalev had a brother, Ram. And Ram is listed in this list of the 10 generations. It is one of the strongest kashas, Rebbe says, on the Megillah, or even a kasha on Masech Lesoita. There's another beautiful piece I heard from my Rebbe as well. Why was Megillas Rus written by Shmuel Navi? Shmuel Navi was many generations later. Boaz had Oved, had Yishai, had David. Why was it written four generations later? There is a beautiful introduction of the Bach. The Bach's parish on Megillas Rus, Meshiv Nefesh, is one of the most beautiful of all the Drushim. And there he says an interesting aside. When David killed Goliath, the Gemara says that Shaul asked, as it says in Shmuel Aleph, Yud Zayin, Nun Ches, Ben Mi Ata Hanar. The Gemara explains that he was asking whether David was Roy Lamachus, and the issue was that he came from Moyavia, and perhaps he would be Pasul. The Gemara says, Kach Mukublani Mibes Dino Shel Shmuel, that this was the Mesoira from the Bezdin of Shmuel, that he is Kosher. So they sent a question to Shmuel, asking whether David is Kosher or not, and Shmuel sent back a tshuva. The tshuva was Megillas Rus. It was a tshuva sent in order to be Machshir David. And you know, when a person opens a tshuva, let's say in Igros Moshe, often the first thing he does is turn to the end to see the final psak. And Megillas Rus indeed ends with the psak. The Yishai Hoyleness David. To tell us that boy is paskin correctly and that this entire lineage was valid. So Megillas Rus is not only a beautiful story, it is also, in a very real sense, a tshuva that was written to Machshir David. I'm wishing everybody a wonderful Yom Tov and a good Shabbos.